Mixed action in the grain markets with strength in cattle trade on Thursday. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen with this market update. Joining us now for our market wrap-up here today, David Erickson. He is with Ag Optimus in Akron, Iowa. And David, let's start with the U.S.-UK trade deal announcement. Still, details look a little fuzzy here, but it sounds like it's going to be somewhat beneficial for U.S. agriculture, particularly ethanol and beef. Yet, outside of maybe a little bit of reaction in the cattle markets and the stock market, grains and oilseeds, for instance, today just kind of chopped around, didn't really react either positively or negatively to the trade deal news, it seems.
Yeah, Jesse, you know, I would say that a lot of these trade details and a lot of these I think you explained it just about perfect with explaining it by saying fuzzy. And I think that that is, you know, overall kind of the way that the market is looking at it. You know, right now, I really think that, you know, the grains are probably a little bit undervalued sitting here. And, you know, especially as you alluded to, it looks like this new trade deal is going to be a little friendly on the ethanol side of things, which, you know, should boost corn. But at the end of the day, the grains, I think what the market is really paying attention to is the fact that the USDA has put out that we're going to plant this huge number of acres, you know, the largest in however many years, and that doesn't really matter. And the crop is going in at a pretty good pace. I mean, we're just a little bit ahead of our five-year average. We're a little bit, you know, faster than we were a year ago. But I really think, and sitting in my chair, and perhaps I'm looking too much out of my back window, but at the end of the day, I feel like we might be getting the crop in at a really good pace, but we're going to need a lot of help along the way in order to grow a really large crop. And, you know, planting a lot of acres doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to have a lot of bushels come fall.
Well, and thinking about corn specifically, I know there's plenty of forecasters who are concerned about, you know, drought potential, especially in the western corn belt here up into the plains as we go through this growing season. Still very early, but I think that goes to show how much weather, it sounds like anyway, like any typical year, is going to be a big driver of this grain market here as we go through the next several months.
Yeah, you know, where I'm sitting is, you know, I'm on the Iowa side of things, but I could throw a rock and I could throw it into South Dakota. So I'm definitely right in the heart of that western corn belt up into the plains. And when you look at the latest drought map and you consider, you know, how those areas look, yeah, there's some areas in central Iowa and eastern Iowa and getting over to Illinois and Indiana a little bit that are sitting pretty good as far as moisture goes. But in the western corn belt, which sometimes the market doesn't want to pay the most attention to, but in the western corn belt, we're sitting pretty dry. And we are going to need a lot of help in order to kind of bring this along. But like you said, we got a lot of time left, and that can sure change in a hurry.
We've been watching a little bit of spread trade action, I would say, as well here in corn and beans this week, especially you look between July Dease corn, July November beans. I know we got a WASD report coming up on Monday. I wonder if maybe it's some positioning by some fund traders and more here ahead of a report like we'll see on Monday from USDA.
Yeah, I definitely think that, you know, especially over the last 2 weeks, regardless of what market you're looking at, I think that the managed money and, you know, the fund traders have been the biggest drivers in a lot of this. And I think you're seeing that a little bit in cattle, you're seeing that in corn, and, you know, you've really been seeing that in wheat for, you know, nearly 2 years, basically since the initial conflict between Russia and Ukraine broke out, and they got a little bit of a spike because of the fear there. Ever since then, ever since that initial reaction wore off, You know, the funds have not really been overly friendly to the grains. Now they are holding a small long position in both the corn and the soybeans, but they have really kept their thumb on the wheat. And I think at some point in time, we'll see that change. And maybe that's a weather scare like we were just talking about, or, you know, some other situation that breaks out.
Let's talk livestock. We should look at cattle first. Feeder cattle, that August contract, break it above that $300 mark here today. After the trade deal news was announced, seemed like we got some decent money flow in there. And, I mean, you look at this cattle market in general, whether we're talking futures or a red-hot cash market here, Dave, and it just seems like this cattle trade cannot find any reason to really move lower. We just keep trending our way higher, it seems.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. And at the end of the day, I really think that it's not going to be a fundamental reason that moves us lower when the music does stop. And I'm not saying the music is going to stop today or tomorrow or, you know, maybe even for another month, but it's not going to be a fundamental reason. It is going to be something as simple as, you know, like we were just talking about, the managed money, they just quit buying. But when you look at it, you know, there was some cash trade all the way up to 230 that was traded today, and that's quite a bit higher than even last week. And last week was an extremely strong trade. So, yeah, it's definitely very strong. And like you said, we got August feeders above that $3 mark, and you know that's a huge number. I was actually just looking at this last night. And if you look back into the 2014 area when we had that last really big push up, or, you know, the last really big bull market on the cattle side of things, we got up to about 290 or we got to 264 ish, and now we're pushing $3. So, and when you think about that, That's another really, really big push up. And this $3 mark, we'll see how we handle it. But yeah, we are firmly above it. And the fact of the matter is, we'll see how we act now that we are above it, and if we're going to keep that going for a little while.
David, great thoughts. If folks want to reach out to you for a conversation there at Ag Optimist, how can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, they can just give me a call at 712-435-7402.
They can also find you guys online, I know, at agoptimist.com. That's David Erickson with Ag Optimist joining us for our market wrap-up here for Thursday, May 8th on the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen reporting.